All right.
Christ.
Nice.
All right, Gibble Dang, Dala.
Yes.
We need to be very, very quiet.
What?
And we need to move.
Huh?
No. Hey.
We have to be very quiet. You, Gibble Dang, tape, you tape listen to it. What? Okay, here. Let me tape his mouth.
And we have to. We have to move. We have to move.
Loudly, right? Move loudly.
Erratic patterns.
Oh, okay. Move loudly.
And that way, we won't produce loud, hollow thumping sounds beneath the sand. And this way, we can test if you're ready.
One's in straight
to
one.
Become.
All right, here I go. Hosts.
Go, Gibble Dang, go. He's running.
Here I go. In a straight line.
He's running in a straight line. He's uniform running as usual.
He just got swallowed.
Nice.
God. Well.
Right.
I mean, if it's a test of proving, at least we proved it right away.
Yeah, best to get it out of the way. All right, my turn. Ready? And
yep, go for it. No, another one down. Oh, God, I'm going to have to do this whole podcast by myself. You know what? Well, let's just still do it together. Oh, worm.
There you are.
All right.
Hey, now gym leader Nate.
Hey, guys.
Pull up welcome a seat at the Mikasa table. Yeah, we're all playing poker.
Yeah.
It's this Dala's house.
Pretty spacious, yeah. Honestly. It looks pretty
good. Good
it's
temperature.
Like a, it's like a Jonah and the whale situation.
Yeah. Dala and I took up residence in the worm's colon.
Yeah.
Did you guys already build like a camp here?
Yeah.
Like,
you want something
like
to drink?
Bonfire?
We have a mini fridge.
Oh. You have a cooler?
Yeah, tea?
Fridge. Yeah, come on.
Would you like some tea?
Okay, cool.
Beer?
Do you have diet Coke?
Ooh. That stuff will kill
you. Madam Web? Are you referencing a movie that we don't like in this?
No. It would be Pepsi.
Are you referencing a product?
It would be Pepsi if it was.
Are you referencing a product that wasn't in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, they very famously fought beneath a giant glowing Pepsi sign.
Yeah, not a fucking Dala. Diet Coke sign, Dala.
Not Diet Coke. Jeez.
I was
Jesus
testing
fucking
you.
Christ.
You're in the worm. Yeah, you're allowed in.
Yeah, true. We got past the Shai Hulud bouncer.
Yeah, that was your test.
Welcome to No Dumb Idea.
As you guys can tell, welcome to No Dumb Idea. You know, I am personally on a kick of sci-fi right now.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. I'm gym leader Nate, you know, with me, with my wonderful co-hosts.
Gibble Dang. Sidekick.
Ow, my side. And basically, Dunk 2 just came out. Sorry, Dune 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it as fast as I could. And let me tell you... how blown I haven't been this blown away while other people are staring at me wondering why I like the movie since Avatar Way of Water.
Did you run
that wasn't too long ago.
No.
Yeah, also that.
Wait, what was that, Dala?
Oh, I was going to say, did you run erratically to the theater as quick as you could?
I did. Yeah, you know, two steps forward, sidestep, gotcha. Swing the leg around,
left foot blue,
skippy doodle,
yeah.
Do the jerk, the Roger Rabbit, ooh, the cabbage patch.
When did Avatar 2 come out? Last year?
I couldn't even remember. A couple years ago?
Like
2 years ago?
Came out last year. Swear to God. Can I Google it?
You know what's crazy? If they were on their original release schedule, we would be getting
would have been
an
Avatar,
movie
Avatar
every
5
other year,
now.
Every other year
yeah,
right now.
Yeah.
If their original release schedule for this period of time was supposed to be Star Wars movie,
1 year, and then the next year, Avatar. Next year, Star Wars. Ooh, next year, Avatar. Next year, Star Wars. Next year, Avatar.
Sci-fi sandwich right there.
Wow.
When they first were, like, projecting all their Star Wars movies out before Episode 8 had even come out, they were like, that's what we're going to be doing.
Let's flood the market.
2025.
People love them all no matter what. Don't matter.
Yeah.
They will always love it.
There's so many, they don't know what's out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Options.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about sci-fi today because, you know, I'm a big sci-fi fan. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, are sci-fi fans without really realizing it now because so many things in, you know, television and movies use sci-fi elements to them. And it's like, and it's almost because it seems like we're like on the cusp of so many different technologies that you can just take one thing and run with it a little bit. And it's very easy to make a plot around it. For you guys, I guess my first question is, I'm very curious because I'm just wondering like how much you guys have like interacted with sci-fi and like what are the big sci-fi influences for like what you've consumed and the things that you like grew up with or have loved.
I feel like I have seen most of like the sci-fi staples except for maybe Star Trek. I never really got into Star Trek, but like. Well, there's a handful that I missed. Ugh, definitely not Doctor Who. I tried to give it a chance.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, that was a really hard one to get into. But yeah, you know, growing up, I watched all the classic 80s movies. You know, you got like RoboCop and Starship Troopers and the Terminators. You know, that's like the classic kind of, I don't know, I guess when things felt... It wasn't as grand as it feels now. Like it feels like they were barely scratching the surface of like, you know, stuff like time travel and stuff like, you know, robots and shit like that.
Right.
So, you know, there's that. And then obviously the Star Wars franchise, I was really big into Star Wars as a kid. And as much as that's sci-fi, that's equally fantasy. You know, it's knights and magic and kingdoms and stuff. It's just under the disguise of sci-fi. But you know, there's a lot more modern stuff I haven't really seen that I know is good for sure. Devs. I haven't seen Devs, but I know that's really good. It's from the creator of Ex Machina, a sci-fi film.
I have not seen Devs either yet.
I haven't even heard of that. That's what I was like, what?
I've seen Ex Machina. I guess probably should have started there. Ex Machina is really good. It's about, like, very, you know, AI that comes to life and kind of does its own thing. And it's bald. Good. Good job. You know, I want to say that's made by Alex Garland. Just, you know, other little things. You know, there's whatchamacallit. Like even thinking of Judge Dredd right now, that one's pretty sci-fi.
Very.
Damn, you know, there was...
Very sci-fi dystopian.
There's another series I was thinking of, but I mean, even in video games, I love Mega Man. That's all sci-fi. It's robots and, you know...
Oh, yeah.
So...
Yeah, you know, like the most...
I'll flip it to you, Dollar.
Yeah.
if I think of anything else.
Wait, well, I'm sorry, you both spoke. I didn't hear either of y'all.
Mine was nonsense, you're good.
Okay.
if I think of anything else, I'll
just
chime in.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, my favorite movies are the first two Alien Xenomorph movies. Like, just titular Predator, sci-fi, yeah. Sci-fi horror, and sci-fi action with the second one, you know.
Iconic sci-fi right there.
Honestly, it's just so good. I mean, I love Geiger's just designs are great. The biomechanical like components, the body horror components. I love I learned actually recently, and I'll talk about it more like in another time, but there's like cassette futurism is what Alien 1 looks like, and Alien Isolation, the game, because I played it, Signalis, I actually was going to talk about it, but I'll hold off, actually, because I want to talk about that with another thing later, like another day, maybe. Mm-hmm. But they all have cassette futurism, is which it's like sci-fi where technology didn't advance past cassette like era, 80s era,
the 80s stylized.
Yeah, so it's like really cool. Like I love, and that's what I really love about the Alien Isolation game, like that, and it's fun as well, and just gets good mechanics. I like a lot of, like, you know, I've seen Star Wars, I think I've seen some Star Trek honestly too, but I just don't remember. But I think a lot of my sci-fi favorites as far as like movies are stuff like Fifth Element. That's actually funny. I think yesterday me and Gibbleding were
Fifth Element's so good.
Yeah. Oh, I love the like style of it. It's like fun world. Mm-hmm. Star Wars is fun too. I think to the fantasy aspect is a little bit where I'm kind of like, I like it. It's just like I wouldn't want to be in there as much as I would want to be in Corbin Dallas's world. You know, I want to be wearing Lilo's.
That's straight up sci-fi with like a vague turn towards destiny.
Yeah.
Instead of like straight up magic existing.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a good one. It's fun. I was bummed because I saw Valerian's intro like on the like on YouTube like years ago, and I remember being intrigued by that. And I heard that's kind of crap though, because I think it's the same director if I remember. But yeah, it's just, you know, Dread. Blade Runner, just such a good one. I mean, I've talked about a while ago. Saw that with a few friends in theaters, and it's just great. Like, just it's what like inspired cyberpunk design in a lot of things, really. Or, yeah. So I don't know. It's video games too. One question I guess I had. I don't know if this counts as sci-fi, particularly, but like alternative histories. I guess, depending on, like, because I think the one that comes to mind is Resistance Fall of Man, the video game trilogy, or the games from the PS3 era, because I, like, loved playing those, because I love Insomniac games, which Ratchet & Clank, another sci-fi, like, great. But Resistance Fall of Man, essentially, it takes place in World War II, where, like, during the war, these aliens kind of come down, and they infect these humans, and kind of, like, humanity kind of has to band together. And I think the game starts off like after humanity's kind of like losing the war, kind of. And it's cool. It's like an alternative history. I'm assuming that.
I mean,
one,
I think as soon as you, I think as soon as you involve aliens, you've pretty much put yourself into the realm of sci-fi.
Yeah. So that's why I'm like, I imagine. I mean, there's like also like Man in the High Tower by Philip K. Dick that probably count. Yeah. But I think that's probably some of the big ones for me, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Philip K. Dick is prolific between the between his own books and then the movies that were inspired by anything he wrote, and it's just like, there's just so much to talk about.
Yeah,
there's just like, I feel like my brain is like too, so full. Too broad. There's so much almost. Sci-fi. That's why it's like, you know, I've always been a huge Star Wars fan. Star Wars was definitely my intro to sci-fi, and Ender's Game. I read a few of the Ender's Game books when I was growing up. I also really liked that. Wasn't a huge fan of the movie, but it wasn't bad. It was still pretty solid, honestly. Star Wars was huge for me. When I was growing up, I was more of a fantasy nerd, but then I started liking sci-fi more and more as I started getting into my teenage years.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, my dad likes sci-fi, so he liked showing me, like, older, like, not older as in, like,
Forbidden, you know, Planet. It came from
2021,
space.
A Space Odyssey. Gotcha. That old. Yeah. Not that old, just a little older. So, like, the movies from that he saw when he was, you know,
a wee lad,
in his teens and 20s. So it's like, a lot of my opinion about sci-fi came from those movies, especially 2021, A Space Odyssey. That movie stuck with me really hard because I saw that when I was like 11 or 12.
And yeah, he paid attention.
And I was very into it, and I was like, I also like had a little bit of a nightmare problem with that movie. So like, it's a really good one.
Quick question: Have you seen the sequel, 2010?
I tried watching it, and I didn't get very far in and got distracted, and I have never gone back and rewatched it.
I've not seen it, but I've been curious to check it out. It's just like,
yeah,
out of curiosity.
I should try and watch it more attentively one time, because I am, like, that is a good point. I am so curious as to actually how that movie is, but I literally made it like 25 minutes in and then like got distracted by something, forgot I was watching it, and then came back an hour later and I was like, okay, I'm not watching this anymore, and turned it off.
Fair.
There is one series that I wanted to mention too. I forgot. It's called Maniac. I think it was a Netflix exclusive for a bit. I don't know if it was a limited series, but it starred Emma Stone and Jonah Hill, and they played these two people with trauma in their life that basically decide to undergo this like medical experiment or this, you know, scientific experiment where they end up taking these like drugs that kind of, I forgot what it does. It's been a while since I've seen it, but it like links their subconscious and then they also it, like,
mingles
get
their memories.
It mingles their memories. Ew, and gross. They start while they're in these like, I think, test chambers or whatever. They start undergoing these experiments where they live like these weird fantasy lives. Like there's lives where they're a couple in like Florida and they rob a bank or some shit like that, or a liquor store or something like that. And then there's one where they're it's like a Viking fantasy, like Game of Thrones-esque, you know. But overall, it's a really good show, really beautiful show, about friendship. And, it just has a really cool, I remember because you bring up cassette futurism, it definitely has that like, what if things never progress past like the 90s, but they did.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like we're able to get these consciousness drugs, but we're still using cassettes and shit like that.
Yeah,
I love I think in general that kind of sci-fi I love more than anything, where it's like timeless, you know what I mean.
Like Fallout.
I mean, yeah, like Fallout. I mean, Batman.
I'm just pointing it out.
Fallout. I feel like Fallout's a little bit, I don't know, It's more stylized, kind of the way like,
oh, it's 50s styles, but
yeah, like cassette futurism is with 80s. Yeah. Like where it's like that's futurism like based off of 50s aesthetic.
Yeah. No, I just meant with
it's
the
nuclear sci-fi.
I just meant with I meant with like the time like specific thing. Because I thought that's what you were getting at, Gib. Not that I didn't realize you were doing cassette futurism only. Yeah.
Well, no, I don't think I've gotten. Right. I don't think I've gotten to what I was going to get to.
Sorry. Go ahead.
But basically, that what I really like is when there's just the mix of like, oh, what era is it? Like in Batman, which one is it? I know that whenever it's in the like sometimes the animated series, Batman the Animated Series. You couldn't really tell if it was the 30s or the 90s because it had the like Art Deco aesthetic of the 30s, but it had all the technology of the 90s and stuff like that. And with that show Maniac, you know, it's all the aesthetics of the 90s, but all this still futuristic, you know, technology. And I think I like that trope a little bit. It's like timeless, like even thinking of fucking Poor Things, you know, the way that is like a sci-fi, it's like it is the Victorian era, but I don't know if it ever does it ever even say that. It could just be an alternate, like an alternate present where, like, you know, although I'm very certain that it is Victorian era.
I think there might be like a couple dates like written in the background or something, but I don't think there's any like time cards, you know. And even then it's still sci-fi because it's like Frankenstein, like the science fiction, you know, fictional science.
It reminds me of this book called Mistborn by Brandon Sanderson. It's more of a fantasy novel, but it has some sci-fi elements to it. Where, like, you know, it's one of those things where like they vaguely allude in the first novels about it, like to the place where this takes place being like possibly a future like America or at least our world into the future. But like at the same time, they don't confirm it. They just like allude to things and how the world has changed basically to pollute due to pollution. Because like in that world, the whole entire world is covered with all these huge factories that like produce energy for like the main rich populaces, but the sky is just like permanently like this hazy dark red color. All of their plants now grow in colors of like black, gray, and red. Like no green plants grow anymore. Mm-hmm. And like things like that. And so they always allude back to like an older era where the world was green and covered in water and things like that. It's like- so it's like it's a very similar vibe where like it's it, and it's also very like lords and houses and stuff like that, but at the same time the like evil there's evil automatons basically that roam the street, like cyborgs that roam the streets as like the evil like god emperor's minions.
Sounds kind of cool.
And so it's very interesting. It's very, it's like almost like basically like they find out how to like manipulate metal in a way that's fantastical and magical, but everything's still like metal based.
Yeah.
And it's, everything's about metal and like machine work, magical machine work that exists like within people, within these cyborgs.
Nice. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. I like that. I like that when it's not defined, you know what I mean? That is very, it lets your mind run with so many different places.
Yeah. And you said this is a book series, right?
Correct.
So it's like, you can, I mean,
called Mistborn.
You get extra like freedom of imagination of what the world looks like there, especially.
And that's something interesting too, is like, I also, something that I love about sci-fi is being able to watch older sci-fi movies and their ideas of what the future will be.
Yeah.
I mean, very specifically 2021, A Space Odyssey, hilarious now that it's 2024. And like, it's just, it's so fun to like see these movies be like in the futuristic world of 1997.
My favorite one is Predator 2, where it's like, in 5 years, here's what's going to happen in L.A., and aliens are going to come down, and the only one that could kill him is, was it Donald Glover?
Yeah. Oh, honestly, you know what looks really good? I saw the trailer for it for the first time at Dune 2.
Mm-hmm.
Furiosa.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, that looks so cool. Like this long, I think it's going to be like a multi-movie saga of like her story through the Mad Max universe. And it's like, that seems very, very cool.
Wait, so if it's
Mad Max being another one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That is like a very sci-fi dystopian.
Mad Max, Fun Furiosa. What would it be? Furious Furiosa?
Oh.
Frustrated Furiosa.
Yeah, maybe like frustrated.
Probably Frustrated Furiosa. Awesome.
Friendly.
What?
Friendly Furiosa.
Yeah.
Oh, instead of Mad Max.
Yeah. Sorry. He's just trying to think of the name.
Furious Furiosa.
That's what. Jesus
Christ. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one, actually. I like that.
There you go.
It's the best one.
Yeah, we should do that one, Nate.
Yeah, easy. All right, so here's another question for you guys that I was wondering about. So, like, what do you think is like a sci-fi realm? You know, a wing of sci-fi that could still be explored. You know, because there's so many different types of new takes on sci-fi. You know, we have like Fallout with that like nuclear technology take. We have like steampunk. We have cyberpunk. You know.
So, like, what's, like, another subgenre, kind of,
I guess? Well, like, what do you think? Yeah, like, let's come up, like, I feel like we should see if we can come up with our own.
I want to see more, like, metal body horror, like, almost Phyrexian. I want to see, like, more Phyrexian kind of things, where, like, it's just, like, biometal, like, Yeah, biometal zombies, you know? That'd be fun. I think mm-hmm. that shit's terrifying. Like Tetsuo, you know? But if that was just a virus.
Honestly.
Yeah.
The Dune, watching Dune, there's so many moments watching where you're where I'm literally like, this is Magic the Gathering. Like, this literally could be a Magic. Because Magic the Gathering has ornithopters. They took them right from Dune.
True.
Like, they have straight up ornithopters. Like instead of just being called thopters, they're ornithopters. But, like, a bunch of the technology the Harkonnens use and stuff, all this, like, really, you know, glossy, black, like, brutalist design, I'm like, this is straight out of the Phyrexians. Like, they could, like, it's just so obvious they could make a crazy, cool Phyrexian-based Magic the Gathering movie. Ugh. That would be...
Yeah.
That'd be killer.
That's what I want to say.
That would be my end to Magic, probably.
I was also thinking, like, I don't know, I'm a big fan of ancient advanced civilization sci-fi, a la the movie Atlantis.
Or Gods of Egypt.
Or, yeah, like...
or
EVP.
Wakanda, EVP or...
Atlantis, yeah, or like Wakanda, like, yeah, I do, or the Marvel Atlantis, yeah. Atlantis in any, like, continuity,
any Atlantis,
basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
fair.
Atlantis Morrison. You
know. Yeah, I'm supposed to, isn't that ironic?
It's a good Atlantis, one. Georgia.
Damn it. We used them all. So there's no more.
That's where she's from. That's where she's from.
Yeah, right?
Atlantis Morissette from Atlantis, Georgia.
Well, they named Atlantis, Georgia after her. So it used to be...
After her, yeah. True.
Yeah, true. Before.
But, yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I really like... I was a really big fan of the original Assassin's Creed storyline that ended at Brotherhood.
I forget those are sci-fi technically. That's funny.
Or that ended at Revelations, sorry. Yeah, they're very sci-fi. And they very much, like, completely forget about the entire... there was an ancient world of proto-humans who were godlike figures who existed on the Earth beforehand, who had ancient, super-advanced technologies, and, it's so funny because all the modern games just completely ignore that. All the
That's
new
right.
Assassin's
like
Creed
the
games.
Of the Apple of Eden, and it's like
the Apple of Eden is actually like a piece of technology, and it's like they have these giant like tombs that are carved with like runes, and the whole entire network of runes throughout the whole entire tomb makes a computer. Like it's all like circuitry basically. Like, I thought that was one of the coolest things about Assassin's Creed, and for them to just, like, basically be
just
like,
ditch
let's just do the historical thing.
People want to be samurais, let's just make them pirates. Forget about the game part.
Yeah, literally. Just let's like, not make them samurais. What haven't we done? Vikings? Okay, yeah. You're a Viking now.
Yeah,
here.
There you go.
And, yeah, it was very sad when they kind of stopped delving into that. Because Desmond, like, you know, solved the prophecy, or, like, fulfilled the prophecy and stopped the world from ending.
I mean, yeah. If it's something that they just, like, where we don't want to mess up that storyline, and we did all we could as far as their creativeness, then I think that's fine. But if it's just, or is it just that they were like, fuck it, we're tired of it. You know, how much of it is which?
I think truly, at the time, I don't even know if they knew they were going to keep making Assassin's Creed games.
Oh, I'm sure.
After
the first one,
after
least, probably didn't know.
Like after Ezio's story, basically. Mm-hmm. Is like comes to a close, like Desmond's whole story with Ezio and Altair comes to a close. I think they weren't like certain they were gonna keep going after that and make Assassin's Creed 3.
Yeah,
like, and so I feel like they like rounded it off and ended it, and then they're like, oh no, people are still, we'll still make a bunch of money from this,
and
then made another one,
and then they became like yearly releases for a bit, right?
Basically
for a while, yeah. They were coming out all the freaking time.
Yeah.
And then in the midst of that, they released Syndicate, which was like this broken, buggy mess that like crashed people's computers.
Oh yeah.
Yay.
But But yeah, Ancient Technology Sci-Fi. Big fan. It, mainly because it's very fantasy. And that's me. But, you know, I like that a lot. What about you, Dala? Is there, is there a certain genre you like most?
Well, I was kind of thinking of like what I would want to see, and I came up with, I will say, this is a dumb idea, but I want to see it.
Hell yeah. Hey, no dumb idea.
Exactly. You know, we talked about like cassette futurism and then kind of like the Fallout like 50s version of that, aren't you? Like nuclear futurism or whatever, where the transistor was never made, so technology never advanced past whatever technology was in the 50s, and it was more nuclear based. Right. I want to go further back and go to caveman time. So everything's just rock based, but it's like high fantasy. They just live in like spaceships that fly.
Want the Flintstones.
So the Flintstones. Yeah, the Flintstones. Yeah, yeah, the Flintstones. Shit, yeah. So I want to see Flintstones, but like in space and, you know, high fantasy version of it. Get it?
Ooh, like all the rocks are like magnetic and magical, and like because of the minerals and how it all interacts, they can make stuff out of just rocks and wood. And,
okay, yeah,
that is like machine.
There's like a dinosaur like spinning a wheel that makes the engine go or something, so they can like fly off to Mars and colonize.
They have like mechs that are just entirely made of like wood and rocks and vines and stuff. And it's like
that'd be fucking great. And it's like high sci-fi with like some deep commentary about like communism or some kind of like dystopian, like you know, what is it to be a robot rock man versus like human, you know, like Detroit become human but with rock people or something. That's my pitch.
Oh, the story could like center around like there's like the human-esque figures that we would relate to, mm-hmm. who use all the magical rocks and stuff to make their technology, and then they discover rock people.
Ooh, yeah. Perfect.
Who are made of rock.
This world is just expanding itself, dude. It's perfect. But that's what I want to see. I want to see rock spaceships.
All right, Captain Bunkus, you're going to be the first caveman to walk on the moon. Why don't you go ahead and put your rock helmet on?
Ooh, like they still grunt to each other for their language.
Ooh, yeah.
Come on, guys, come on, we're past this. All right,
make sure you get your military standard club.
You know I follow the ancient ways.
Yes.
Ooh, gunga.
He pulls out like a club. Cocks it. Just in case.
Grunkus, you're going to space. I don't think that you're going to need the rock
just
gun.
Just in case.
I'm sorry, the shot rock.
Out there.
Yeah, maybe big
the shot rock.
Alien dinosaurs in space, maybe, perhaps.
Okay, why are you guys talking like this? We are past
this. He's got like a sling with a rock in it, and when he throws it, it's like, pew! Like it makes like a laser sound.
Yeah.
This is starting to sound like the sci-fi movie. Like this started to sound like Bronco.
Bronco?
Yeah, Gentleman Bronco.
I don't think I've heard that one. Damn.
Dala wasn't there, but we watched a movie called Gentleman Broncos.
Yeah, Gentleman Broncos.
It's the third of the third movie made by Jared Hess, the guy who made Napoleon Dynamite and Nacho Libre.
Oh, okay.
But that one,
the main character is an aspiring sci-fi writer. His sci-fi story has like Mecha Deer and
Sam Rockwell.
Fuck.
Yeah.
All right.
We might as well talk about this because this is a sci-fi movie.
I guess it sounds like it's true.
So this kid's an aspiring writer, and he goes to this writing camp where he meets these young like amateur filmmakers, and it's like a side plot. And two, he's going because it's like this writing competition where if you submit a story, there's a potential that your story could get published. His story doesn't get chosen, but the filmmaker friends are like, "Oh, let's adapt this movie," like, you know. But they're like low budget indie filmmakers. Meanwhile, so this young writer is basically seeing his story get adapted by these filmmakers, but they're doing it shitty. They're like, you know, they're like, mm-hmm. "Oh, we'll cut this out. We'll cut that out." Meanwhile, Jemaine Clement, who is like the head writer who threw the writing contest or whatever, steals the main guy's book and tries to pass it off on as his own. So, like, this kid is seeing, like, his story get stolen and, like, just bastardized, like, right on both fronts. Yeah.
In two different ways.
I don't want to say the ending because it actually ends really well. And I forgot the ending when I watched it. But it's good. It's fun. It's a weird
thing. Oh, I've seen the cover. Sorry, I looked it up. I've seen it before, but not the movie itself.
The ending moral of the story is, mom's got your back.
Oh, yeah. Like, nice.
Mom's always there.
Always there for you.
That's a good sci-fi comedy I recommend.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Yeah,
that one's fantastic. I wanted to make sure we had time to, like, I have two different, things here. So I have a little quiz. I want to see what you guys know about sci-fi. Then we're going to talk some more, and then I have another thing at the end.
So everything we talked about, is it on the quiz?
Oh, no. This is, some of these things might be, but fair. For the most part, it's just general sci-fi knowledge, like trivia.
Okay.
You know, have you seen these things, and were you paying attention when you watched them? or just how much do you remember?
I may have seen them. I never pay attention.
Yeah. How confident do you guys?
You
feel
already said that.
Going into this.
Yes.
Three.
On a scale of 1 to 5 quasars.
Oh, then
about a 3.
6
on a
launch
scale
holes.
Of 1 to 7 parsecs. I'm 6.359 parsecs. Parsawatts.
Honestly, something I always give up to Star Wars is how they retconned in order to make that make sense. How they were like, you travel via light speed, you make jumps.
Yeah.
And the amount of, and when you, and it's about the parsecs is a league of, is a measurement of distance. So you made the cross of physical space in that many hyperspace jumps.
So dope.
And that's what the 12 parsecs is. You only traveled 12 hyperspace parsecs and not to get to a certain distance of real space distance.
Nerd.
Yeah, pushes up invisible glasses. So let's see how much you guys know about sci-fi.
Okay.
All right, so the first question, so you guys can pew-pew.
Okay.
You pew-pew with your lasers in order to you know, buzz in for you to answer the question.
Thanks for the lasers, the laser guns you gave us.
These are going to be open answer questions, not multiple choice, so you're going to have to know the answers.
Damn.
So here we go. What is considered the first sci-fi novel?
Pew-pew.
What is considered the first? Yeah,
It's probably not, but this is probably the closest I can think of. It's maybe like Frankenstein? Mary Shelley?
You are correct.
Oh,
you are 100% correct.
I was thinking that too, funny enough. Poor things, actually.
Mary Shelley's Frankenstein is widely considered the first sci-fi novel.
Sci-fi.
Which, honestly, a great representation of sci-fi, you know? Using advanced technology to bring someone back to life.
Yeah.
You know,
she used cassette tapes, too, I heard.
To life.
She did.
With cassette tapes, yeah. That's how Frankenstein learned the human language, but was by listening to cassettes.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Which sandy area inspired Frank Herbert to write Dune?
Sandy?
Poo-poo. Sandy? Oh, yeah. I heard a pee-pew.
Sahara Desert. Fun fact, the sandiest place. No, I'm not done.
Pew-pew?
Fun fact, the sandiest place in the world.
I'm sure that's true. That is incorrect, though.
Okay.
Yeah, Dala, do you have a guess?
The only other place, like the place where I could think of where there actually are dunes, is Pismo Beach. Or Pismo.
Where's that? Pismo?
Yeah.
Where's that?
Pismo off. Ah!
I got it.
Not a, got him.
Pismo than you.
I'm like, where is Pismo?
Pismo Beach? Nuts.
I'm assuming that's the wrong answer. If it's not the answer, then dang.
Well, I don't know.
Oh.
That's the thing. It might be. Let me see.
Pismo drink Pismo less. Pismo
Beach. That's in California.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I was like, it's California.
But you are closer.
Okay.
It was inspired by the coastal dunes of Oregon.
Okay.
It's in the name. I would have loved. Damn it. It was inspired by the bayous of, like, you know, New Orleans or some complete opposite.
I mean, already, that's pretty silly, the fact that, like, it wasn't inspired by any major desert or anything. It was just inspired by the dunes that were next to his house.
I was going
to
say, he probably lived there. That's probably why. It's like, it's like, oh, I wrote a story that was inspired by my house, you know, the place he probably
with how much, like, how much Arab influence is in the books. It's like you'd expect it to be like, oh, I went to the Middle East and that's where I was inspired.
He was just tripping balls on LSD and looked out his window, saw the dunes. He's like, man, I bet there's a giant freaking worm in there. Wait a minute.
the heavy, all the stuff about spice in the Dune universe is very much due to Frank Herbert's own struggles in his life with drug use.
Yes.
Ooh. So yeah, maybe.
And the drugs
he's
are
out
spices,
there tripping balls, and he's like just cinnamon, like the spice melange,
cinnamon, cardamom, oregano.
It's cumin. Well, it's just called spice.
No, I know, but it's he was addicted to spices himself.
Yeah, he was addicted to taking cinnamon challenges with a big spoon.
It's good shit.
Straight to the vein.
Cough to get off.
All right, so next question. Next question. In the Star Wars universe, ancient Jedi used powered weapons that required cables that attached to a battery pack on them. What were these weapons called?
The Bungar rays.
Pew pew.
The sizzle sabers.
Dala lightsabers. I don't know. Blasters?
That is incorrect. Yeah. This is before lightsabers, but it's close.
Poo-poo?
It is the early version. Gotcha. Yes, Gibbledang.
The proto-saber?
That is correct.
What?
They are proto-sabers.
I said that as a joke.
Nope, that is correct.
They're made of rocks finally.
Yeah, they're made of rocks and trees. And vines.
One day, this will be entirely a 180 from what this is right now.
They are just swords. It's like they're just swords.
I like to think that the lightsaber is Mark II.
It's a sword plugged into a battery, so it's like electric. That's like why it's like electric.
All right, so we have 2 points for each of you, and unfortunately nobody got the Oregon Dunes. Okay.
Oh, shucks.
Sorry. 2 points amongst you. You each have one.
Okay, I was like, oh, cool.
Sorry.
Forgot I made points, but all right.
So, next question is, name the beings who predict crime in the movie Minority Report.
Pew, pew.
Yes, Dala.
It's going to be Thomathan Cruzathan.
Yes, it was Thomasin Cruzathan in the movie. Unfortunately, he was not the one who was predicting these crimes.
Pew, pew.
Yes, Gibbledag?
It's going to be some cliched shit, like the intelligence, or the observers, or the watch, or the fucking...
Let me just list.
All right, so that's like nine guesses, they are all incorrect.
Whatever.
The correct answer is precog. They were called precog.
Precog can still get you pregnant.
Precog can still get you pregnant. Nice. All right. Next question. We were talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. What is the model name of the supercomputer in 2021 A Space Odyssey?
CPU.
Dala.
It's how 9000. 9K. Makes that much.
That's correct. It is the HAL 9000 supercomputer system. Bing, bing. Sorry, I can't let you do that, Dala.
What if I kiss you extra hard?
You're a dude? Oh, God.
Oh. You're not gay?
That's right, Dala.
I've been calling this ship a she this whole time.
What is this? No, Futurama? In fact, I've been a man. I've been gay the whole time.
That's why I want you to myself, Dala.
Ooh, all right.
I'm gay, computer gay for you.
Come inside me.
Jesus Christ. Because
yeah, he's the biggest ship. He's a spaceship.
Oh, he'll fill you up. All right. So, okay, next question. This one might be a little too easy, but we'll see. What Philip K. Dick novel inspired the movie Blade Runner?
Oh.
Puzz. Or puzzle. TPU. I saw, come on.
I was like, all right, I'll let you guess, Gimbal. You just didn't pew pew instead of buzzing.
It's called what do electric dream sheep or what do electric dream sheep? What do electric sheep dream or something like that?
Can I?
What do?
Still quite correct.
Oh my Dala, God! I swear to God.
Give us the exact title.
Yeah, it's Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? ?
That is correct. Do Androids Dream of Electric
Sheep? It's my favorite.
I'm gonna have to give that point to Dala.
It's my favorite book.
That's why I was like, okay, this one's gonna be a little easy for Dala. Because
I'm an idiot.
Is good. No. This one's gonna be.
That's what I was like, I'll give it to you.
This one's gonna be.
It's like you fumbled.
A realm that.
I don't want that point.
Yeah. Hey, at least
we'll split it. We'll split the point.
I don't want it.
Nope. Too late. I'll do that.
All right. I'll keep it.
All right. Here's a realm where both of you are equally as unaware.
Shitty.
I think.
Yeah.
Torchwood is an anagram and spinoff of what TV show?
It's an anagram and
Firefly.
It is both an anagram for Torchwood.
Yeah. Okay.
Is also an anagram for the original TV show's name, and it's a spinoff of that TV show.
PPU.
Yes, Dala?
It's obviously a spinoff and anagram of the show Deadwood, the Western.
That is incorrect. I'm so sorry. That is. There's some other letters in there. Like
what was it again?
T's
Torchwood?
That you might need to work with.
Couchwood? What was it?
Torchwood.
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 I don't know.
Yes.
Torchwood.
That's like, that's what
Do
I was
Do you
like.
Have a guess, Gibbledang?
I'm trying to think, but I can't. The letters just spell out Torchwood in my mind.
Or wood torch.
I'm trying to get them to move, but
they're locked into place and they're shaking no matter. Like, they look like they're fucking really. They're trying their hardest to just stay there. Give me one more try.
Yeah, I'll try to think of it too, I guess. Can we get like a hint of like.
Oh, wait, is this?
I mean,
where the show is syndicated?
Is this? Wait.
Yeah, you got it. It's
Doctor Who?
That is correct. It is Doctor Who. So Torchwood is a location in the Doctor Who universe. You know, it's a safe house that eventually that has like its own cast.
Wait,
who like basically their job is to try and deal with like the space, the stuff in the Doctor Who universe that happens on Earth while he's not around.
Nice.
Obligatory spinoff. I don't need your praise.
But yeah, there you go. That so I was like, it's hard to give a hint because like the anagram part is the hint.
Yeah, well, I was like, I was gonna ask like when was the show was syndicated? But that's also tough with Doctor Who then.
From 1960s through was today,
before then too,
would have given
it?
Away immediately.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe 50s.
I think
60s.
I just remember it's like on Tubi. Go on.
Fun fact. Monogra is an anagram of anagram. Nice. You guys could write that down.
Hold on, let's stop and applaud. Give a thank. Great job.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Our next question comes from the Star Trek universe.
Ugh. Yummy.
In the Star Trek universe, according to Starfleet data, Earth is classified as what class of planet?
Pew pew?
Yes.
Okay, my first thought was like a 9.
Class 9?
Yeah.
That is incorrect, okay. But you are like you right are there. In the right like wheelhouse.
I said a number. Yay.
Like how it's classified, like puzzle. Maybe not like that, yeah. But like something equally as simplistic. Poo-poo? Yeah, Gibbledang.
I want to say class C.
Very close, very close. Earth is an M-class planet in the Star Wars Star Trek universe.
Yes. In the different universe, it's a different class
for murder.
Ooh, makes sense.
Because we are killers.
And M is the ninth letter in the alphabet, so I was hella close.
That's true.
That's not true at all. No. I'm like, it's like in the middle.
It's like way off, yeah.
All right. Here's a good one. I like this question a lot. What is the name of the substance they are seeking to mine in Avatar?
Oh, PPU.
Yeah, Dala?
It's like unobtainium.
Correct.
Is there really the unobtainium?
Whack. It's so cheap.
But they obtain it, so it's
they literally are actively gathering.
Yeah, and how do they know that's what it's called? Yeah,
we should call it obtainium. We are obtaining it.
Yeah, well, they could call it
because we have it. Yeah, we got it.
Like, we have a bunch of
ium. Excessive ium.
Excelsior.
It's everywhere, just on a different planet. Ium.
Yeah. Oh shit! That's great.
Yeah, that's always a good one. I love unobtainium.
I think he like James Cameron just ran out of ideas at that point. He's like, whatever. I named it 100%. Crap ton of things. One more thing to name that.
Or it's like they got to filming, and then it's like, sir, in the script, yeah, it says unobtainium here. What is that? He's like, oh, fuck, I forgot to change that. Yeah. I forgot to change that into something.
Yeah.
It was a placeholder name.
Yeah.
Or, like, I was thinking, like, he worked through, like, so many different names of what he was going to call it, but by the end, they all sounded so equally ridiculous. He couldn't, he couldn't understand that unobtainium sounded weird because he had gone through 1,000 other,
yeah. He's like tries. Can't findium? No, that sounds silly.
Lostium?
Lostium? No. Looking for emium? No, oh, I don't rock. Think so.
I'll just call it a rock. Oh, rock. No, that's stupid.
Where is itium? All right.
Helium. Fuck, it's taken.
So now we have a nice little a question from a different universe. We're gonna pivot again.
We have a nice one for once.
This one you might be familiar with. I'm not sure. We didn't talk about it yet.
Okay.
According to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy by Douglas Adams, what is the meaning of life?
Poo-poo.
Gibbledang.
42.
That is correct. Nice. The meaning of life is 42, as determined by the supercomputer Deep Thoughts.
What is the meaning of life?
OTS.
42.
Yeah, it's like years we thought of it for 42. Years. 42. And the combination is this.
All right. And now our last question is going to be a guest question. That was given to me by Viv. Viv gave me a very... actually two interesting questions here, which also branches a little bit into the worlds of like video games and books.
Okay.
So, Sarah Kerrigan is commonly known as the Queen of Blades in which sci-fi fantasy game series?
Pew Pewy.
Yes, Dala?
That's going to be the future of Warcraft, StarCraft.
Okay, I want to tell you you're wrong because it's not the future of war.
It's not. Yeah, yeah.
But yes. But yes. StarCraft is correct.
It's Minecraft.
That is from the StarCraft universe. Nice. It's Minecraft.
Minecraft is a present.
Yeah. I love StarCraft. It's Warcraft goes to Minecraft to StarCraft. Perfect.
Are you going to drink exactly. that candle?
Yes.
It looked like you're going to drink that candle, Dala.
Let me just take a sip here. It's like when people do those, like, this is the most confusing movie trilogy ever, and it's like
three oh, yeah.
games of movies that have nothing to do with it. It's exactly that. Like, this is the most confusing game trilogy ever. And it's Warcraft, Minecraft, StarCraft.
Yeah, and then there's a spinoff of World of Warcraft. I think my favorite one is the X2 X-Men, and then like Triple X is like my favorite one of those.
Yeah, Triple X.
It's just such a, like, what is this trilogy?
All right, and our final question. The score is currently Gibbledang 3 and Dala 4. So Gibbledang could tie it up here.
I could win this.
Our final question is, in Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451,
mm-hmm.
what device do they feature known as seashells that now everybody uses in modern day?
Poo-poo.
Yeah, Gibbledang with the poo-poo.
Cell phones? Cellular telephones?
Incorrect.
Can I get another guess?
Dala.
Do you
have,
pew it?
So, do you have a guess?
So, can I get the question one more time? The question one more time, please?
Yeah. In Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451, this device was known as seashells. Mm-hmm. And now, currently, today, we use every day. A lot of people use.
Clearly, neither of y'all have seen Demolition Man. It's obviously a bidet. Everyone uses those every day. That's where they got
they
that.
Sound like unfortunately... They sound like the ocean when you put your ear next to it, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I can hear the ocean.
Unfortunately, it is not the Rudy Tooty Booty Shooty. It is.
It should be.
The answer is earbuds or AirPods.
Oh. That makes sense. Yeah,
they called their small circular devices they put into their ear so that they could listen to,
mm-hmm.
you know, communications, so that they could, you know, listen to various media.
And burn books.
Yeah. And burn books.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that was the seashell.
Nice.
Now, that means our final score after the first section is Gibbledang 3 and Dala 4. Now, luckily, it's not over yet.
Ooh.
There will be another section
in the future.
You can come back and you can win.
In the future. Oh my gosh.
Of this episode.
The spice has opened my eyes and I can see.
Oh, you shouldn't put cinnamon in your eyes.
5 minutes into the future.
I'm having a Madam Web vision. And I'm just seeing normally into the future, I guess. Dala, what about you? Your turn.
Actually, that is kind of funny. Seeing the future is kind of the thing right now.
Sci-fi, yeah.
In movies, yeah, in sci-fi movies.
Fine, then I'll be like, I think Life is Strange. I think she can see the future. I do it like that.
Okay. Ooh, yeah, I like Life is Strange. That's such a good video game. Is that sci-fi or is that that's fantasy?
I haven't played them, to be honest. I just know the powers. Or the like.
I did play Life is Strange. I would say it's fantasy because it's just set, like, in modern day.
Gotcha. It's like more.
She just has the, it's less the power to see into the future as it is. She like actively can rewind time.
Oh, so she can see the future the sense that she could go back in the past.
Yeah. So like in Madam Web, where she's like, "Oh, I swear this all just happened."
Yeah.
Like with Life is Strange, like technically, like it did already happen. She just undid it
that,
and then is gonna try something else. She doesn't know all of the branches. She just can go back and try again.
Okay.
So I'm having an idea. I'm having an idea for a reverse Madam Web, where she's like, "Oh my God, I'm having memories."
Oh God!
Honestly, it's like it's funny because that is also very Dune, because in Dune, all of the Reverent Mothers, their whole thing is they can see back through history to all of the other Reverent Mothers who ever existed.
Nice.
And so each Reverent Mother like holds the memories of all the Reverent Mothers who came before her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the reason why only women can do it, because men would shatter under the mental load of basically like having thousands of years of sorrows and pains and stuff like that, like placed onto them.
But not little Timothy Chalamet. He can do it.
Not Timothy Chalamet. No, not him. I will say, while I was watching, like, people on the internet have said this, and I finally agree after watching this movie that I can see the casting. Mm-hmm. And Timothy Chalamet.
Shall we?
He would, I think he would make a good Robin.
No, yeah,
like Batman's Robin.
Yeah,
no, like the he bird.
Would make a good, yeah, like the bird. He would just be a good bird, like nice. In an animated movie.
Yeah, I'd see him.
But yeah, no, I think he would make a really good, probably Dick Grayson. Yeah, like the way his more emotional moments and the way he like went about things, it just was like a very Robin coded, and the way he screamed, even like his voice reminded me of what Robin and Teen Titans would sound like when he was getting really angry and stuff.
I could definitely see him as either Tim Drake or like maybe even Jason Todd.
Jason Todd, actually, he'd go crazy as
my favorite choice for Dick Grayson would be Steven Yeun. Yeah, I feel like he's got big Dick Grayson energy, big Dick energy.
Yeah,
Dick energy.
I definitely can see that.
Yeah,
he's got big Dick energy. Yeah,
he could be a Nightwing, probably.
All right,
pretty cool. I could picture him as big Nightwing, like telling Batman off about like, "Hey, man, you gotta be nice. You can't like beat up the mentally unwell homeless people that are just chill out, on the sidewalk." Yeah, dude, just
chill a little, little bit. Simmer down.
Yeah. Live a little.
Maybe take a chill pill. Drink some chamomile tea.
Take
Batman.
A bat chill pill. Here, have a bat rock.
Take a bat bath.
Here, suck on this bat rock. You'll feel better.
Are these the magical bat rocks from Rock Planet? That's kryptonite. Anyways.
Oh.
All right. So our next section is going to be a fun little game that I've devised called Dune or Star Wars. As a lot of people know, Star Wars took heavy inspiration from Frank Herbert's Dune. Some would say straight up ripped it off.
Okay.
and so we're going to test your guys' knowledge and see if you can recognize whether or not these important details to the plot are from Dune or from Star Wars.
Okay.
So here we go.
Quick question.
This is, yes.
And this is counting, I assume, all the books of Dune and the movies? And then or is it just the movies?
Yes, but I made sure to make it more like, just like vague things about the world that are like accessible within like the first movie, like the first Dune movie.
Okay.
Like things that you could have learned like from the first Dune movie. That's
like straight up. And then same with Star Wars, I imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Gotcha. Like, just like more simple things you can get from like the first couple movies.
Okay.
So the first question is Dune or Star Wars? The main character has access to magical powers to influence the thoughts of the weak-minded.
Pew pew. Pew.
I heard Gibbledang first with the poo-poo.
Both.
I said the right one.
That is correct. Yeah. The answer is both. Both Star Wars and Dune feature powers that allow you to influence others and make them think what you want to think.
What you think all right, you
so
want
the next one. Yeah, exactly. The next one is Dune or Star Wars. Which of these features houses of royalty that are constantly struggling for control at all times?
Pew pew.
Yes, Dala.
Yeah, that's going to be both of them as well?
No, unfortunately, that one is just Dune. Star Wars is not so much about houses and lords as it is, you know, about, you know, the emperor and larger governments. So,
but they're in a house. I'd consider that a house.
Yeah, like they have them. Yeah. But the main struggle of houses controlling the galaxy is a very Dune-specific one. Yeah, so unfortunately, I also forgot to give Gibbledang a chance to steal, but we'll do that for the other ones. So, all right, next.
And how's about I go first for this one?
Sure.
That sounds fine. You can get the first guess.
Huzzah. All
right. In this universe, criminals smuggle spice through the galaxy to sell it for money.
Poo-poo. Or, well, I guess I go first. Yes. Star Wars. Bang.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
That is incorrect. Dala?
Pew-pew. It's both.
That is correct. It is both. In both universes, smugglers will try to get spices off of the mining worlds in order to sell them for cash.
I used my flashback memory to when Gym Leader Nate said that earlier. That's my past. Yeah, see, exactly. I'm Life is Strange myself.
He didn't say that earlier, did he?
Well, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know because it was a future we never saw.
Ooh.
All right. So, Dune or Star Wars, which universe features enhanced technological blades that are so hot they can cut through anything?
Poo poo.
Oh, okay. Good.
Gibbledang?
Star Wars?
That is correct. Okay. That is Star Wars. Mm-hmm. While Dune has blades, they don't have blades that are made of plasma. They're just swords.
Nice.
In Dune.
I do like that scene in, because I've seen the Lynch Dune with the sword fight where you have to go so slow. So I was like, I wasn't sure if that count or was that as well. But it's cool.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about Dune is that it's more about their shields, their personal shields that they carry. It's the reason why a lot of combat still ends up being melee combat in Dune, is because if you use a ray gun in that universe to shoot somebody who's wearing,
or ricochets,
it can ricochet back at you, or if it actually it can set off a chain reaction that causes basically a nuclear explosion.
Ooh.
And when you shoot someone with that, you will blow up like the entire battlefield and kill everybody. So basically,
I love it.
Yeah. So like warfare often involves perfectly timing when you're using your shooting troops to when you see their troops are now have their shields activated. And at that point you have to send in like ground troops and everybody has to fight melee combat.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah. Interesting fact. So, next interesting fact that you must guess which universe this is from.
Mm-hmm.
Which universe features armies of genetically identical clone soldiers to do the biddings of their leaders? Gibble dang.
I'm going to say Star Wars for this one.
This one is also both. Unfortunately, there are clone forces. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot again.
That means you go first. This
one, I just get the point.
That means you'll get the guess.
That was going to be my guess, too. I mean, it's pretty obvious, so though, to be fair.
That was a little bit more obvious. They do both. They both have clone forces that are made via the process of artificially making people.
I do love the show Dune Clone Wars. It's better than the movie.
Mm-hmm. Dune Clone Wars, fire. all right. My favorite is R2-D2.
Have you seen the Dune Batch?
What'd you say?
Have you seen the Dune Batch?
Yeah.
The Dune Batch. The Spice Batch.
Dune B1 Kenobi.
The Fremen Batch.
Everyone's name's Dune. C Dune P.O.
All right.
The Dune DeLorean. Who else? The Book of Dune.
The Dune DeLorean.
The Book of Dune. Yeah.
The Worm DeLorean.
The Book of Dune.
The Book of Dune. Nice. That's true. So, next question is, between these two universes, which one features features a historical event where the galaxy was almost overtaken and destroyed by AI-driven computers?
Poo-poo.
Can I do a phone-a-friend? Or can I do a... eliminate one of the questions.
Oh, wait, no, Dala does get the first guest on this one, unfortunately. You cannot phone a friend or 50-50. No, you're going to have to...
You're going to have to guess. You can call me if you want to.
Yeah.
You can call Gibbledang, but it'll be Gibbledang's point.
Yeah.
Okay. No, you're good. I think I'll take a guess that it was... I'm going to go with Star Wars.
Okay. That is incorrect. Gibbledine, do you have a guess?
Dunk.
The answer is Dunk. Yeah, okay. Yes. In Dune, the reason why everything is done via humans or people using spice to enhance their minds to do advanced calculations is because AI advanced so much they tried to take over humanity and all the houses of the galaxy. And the thinking machines, as they refer to them, had to be destroyed. And ever since then, they no longer create thinking machines, only operational machines that people can use.
Losers.
Okay. Like,
all right. Next. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, like, what is it? The cat that in the Lynch one? What is it? I forgot what it was. Oh, shit.
What?
There's like the cat gets like in the machine. I forget. I was going to make a reference and I was like, I forgot. I realized. I forgot.
No, we're keeping this in. We're keeping this in.
That's fine. I'll
explain yourself.
I'll send it to you guys in the future.
Explain yourself.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, the future,
I'm seeing it now.
So am I. Oh, he forgot.
All right. Oh, I already forgot it. Yeah. Still have ADHD.
Damn.
Okay. Next, Dune or Star Wars? Which universe features religious fanatics trying to overthrow an evil emperor?
Poo poo.
I will also poo poo after that, if needed.
Say it again, one more time.
Which universe contains religious fanatics or fanatic trying to overthrow evil emperors?
I think Dunk.
That is incorrect. Dala, nice. Do you have a guess?
I was going to say both.
That is both, nice. Yes. Technically, the Jedi are a religion, so... The Return of the Jedi is the return of a religious, a fanatical religious order that is overthrowing an emperor.
Also, this is me, Dala, from the future. I just sent you all the link to the David Lynch cat milking scene in Dune.
Oh, I already saw it. It's good.
Yeah, it's funny.
In the future.
Yeah.
Guys, right. It's me, Madam Web.
Oh, shit. I don't
know. Oh, God.
She's here. You don't look like you care to be here, though.
Damn. No. Since we don't do video, I can't do this bit, but I was going to do a bit where, like, and I'm the villain. So, like, where I mouth a bunch of words and then the dub is completely different.
Dub it, yeah. I'm the villain.
And I mean, basically, that was the first, like, 5 minutes of the movie is I'm studying spiders.
Yeah.
And I am your villain.
I am evil.
Okay. All right, so Dune or Star Wars, which of these two franchises features a race of lizard people who live underwater?
Gungan.
Poo-poo.
Yeah?
Give a Star Wars?
That is correct. Nice. Only Star Wars has a race of lizard people that live underwater.
Nice.
The Gungans.
The Gungans.
Me, you sir, thinking you no smarter than the Gungans.
Like, yeah. That movie has its problems, but I gotta tell you, as a 6-year-old with a short attention span, that fucking got me.
That movie.
Every single time the Gungans were on screen, I was like, yes, 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 yes.
Despite the Trade Federation talk, like, those movies have, like, were made for kids. More so.
Exactly. It's a weird balance that they tried to draw with, like, making a movie for kids have its impetus, the reason why everything's happening in the movie, be about trade federations and taxes.
Yeah, it's embargoes and fucking...
Yeah, and blockades on shipment.
Yeah, like, my favorite things as a kid, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, I think this is our last question.
Ooh.
Between Dune and Star Wars, which universe... features a protagonist that is directly descendant from their antagonist.
Pew pew.
Dala.
I think both.
That is correct. Okay. In both of the franchises, the main character is directly descendant from their antagonist.
I'm the villain.
Mainly,
and I'm your nephew.
Mainly referencing the first like installment of each of these. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the ones that matter.
Yeah, exactly. Because Paul Atreides is not related to the Emperor, but he is related to a different antagonist of his story. Whereas once you get past Dune and, you know, past the Emperor, his antagonists are different.
Zendaya.
Well, his families, I should say.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, Zendaya is his antagonist.
Mm-hmm. The actress, not the character.
Yeah.
Just the actress.
There will be. Up. All
right, so yeah.
Go on.
A Zendaying.
Sorry, I was going to say, that is the end, and Dala is going to win our little game here at 7-5. So,
yeah.
So, it was pretty close. You know, it was interesting to see what you guys knew about the dunkening.
The dunk wars, or star dunk.
And I did want to emphasize, you know, just how much Star Wars took from Dune. It is to right down to literally naming their drug spice.
Yeah,
like
that's great. That's a crazy one.
The only difference being in Star Wars, it doesn't help you see the future. It's just
gets you high,
recreational
man.
Drug.
Yeah, it's just fucking fentanyl.
Just gets you high. Just,
Jesus Christ! I don't know about fentanyl. Oh my God! How bad is this spice?
It depends.
Yeah, I don't know if they ever actually depict like people who are spice addicts in
the Star Wars franchise.
Star Wars. Yeah, I think they really only ever depict people who are transporting the spice for money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like they never really show that, which I feel like is part of their family friendliness.
Yeah.
Is like they're like, we don't need to show drug addicts in Star Wars.
I mean, now especially with Disney owning, it's like you're not gonna ever see that.
Yeah, probably not. Man, no, but
I can't,
I'd like to.
Yeah. I can't wait till Star Wars has like crackheads having full penetrative sex. You know what I mean?
Jeez. Yeah.
What?
It already does if you know what websites to go to. Yeah,
it's got me off guard with that. That's a little funny. Yeah.
Dala, grow up.
What? What? Yeah, you Jesus. Caught me off guard, as I said.
Dala, grow up.
Everybody,
I couldn't see the future.
It's very
I'm
adult
sorry.
To be Uh-oh. Aware of crackheads having penetrative
yeah.
sex, okay?
Fair,
yeah, Dala,
fair.
We're
high
all
art.
People. We're all, yeah.
We've all seen Euphoria, okay?
And that would be the sci-fi movies, and that would be that Star Wars movie's message, you know, deep down. Yeah.
Crackheads can have sex, too.
We're all crackheads having penetrative
sex. Oh, yeah, that's the message.
Yeah.
That's the message.
There you go.
Aren't we all?
Mom's always there for you, and crackheads all wanting penetrative sex.
Oh, yeah, no. Exactly. I hate the end of this episode.
But it's just my fault. Right
No, you're kidding. Speaking of which, I think... Oh.
What?
I think we're getting pooped out of the worm now. Things are finally starting to move.
Dang, I was getting comfy with this couch, too.
Luckily, we're just going to fly out the other side. Interesting fact... Mm-hmm. Somebody online, I saw a video of someone explaining how worms must move, the sandworms must move through the desert.
Mm.
And they were like, we know that they're filter feeders, and when they eat things, they just open up their maw, and there's like a bunch of sand that goes into their mouth too.
Hmm.
So presumably they feed like, you know, whale sharks, where they take in all the sand like whale sharks do with water, mm-hmm. and just expel it out their gills. Mm. But what that means for giant sandworms is that they are inhaling and ingesting this sand and rocketing it out the back of them so fast that they're propelling themselves
forward
through the sand.
That makes sense why, like, no matter how hard cool. I sweep, there keeps being sand in our damn spot.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, no matter what, Shai-Huluds will always keep the sands alive.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm so excited for you guys to see Dune. it's like I would absolutely go see it again. Like it is.
Yeah.
fantastic movie.
I'll try to watch the first one, but if not, I'm like, it's earlier, I was like, I'm down to watch the second without having seen the first as like a joke to see. I'm sure it still is good and holds up, or is easy to follow, I'm sure.
I need a rewatch.
You practically could.
I need to rewatch the first one. I remember watching it late at night, and it was in IMAX, and I remember, like, I was not engaged, so maybe a second viewing will do me some good. Maybe some Willius Wonkamus could entice me a little bit.
Yeah.
I really hope they keep going with this franchise and we get Dune Messiah next, because I want to see the Frankenstein man in Dune Messiah. So there's a character who comes back from the dead from Dune as like a reanimated person, basically.
Oh, wow.
And like slowly regains their personality. It's very cool.
Is this like the furthest that it's gone in compared to the books for the movies now or now?
Right now it is Dune. Now finished the first book.
Okay.
The first book was split into two.
Is it further than David Lynch's Dune, I guess, too?
Now it is the exact same place because David Lynch's Dune did the whole first book in one movie.
where this one was split.
Whereas this one split it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. And honestly, it was a good idea to split it because the book's literally divided into two sections. Because it has a big break in the middle where they start doing time jumps of like Paul's time with the Fremen. So like, it really is like,
I like the split. Future. It like shows them in the future. Yeah. The future. Oh my god, it's all full circle.
Dune Messiah is crazy because it's literally like, all right, cool. 15 years later.
Nice. All right, sure.
Which is also very Star Wars, where like, well, when you go to pick up again with your main cast of characters, they jump
like way, future. Yeah. Should we do our plugs now, or is there more?
Yeah, let's do some pluggies.
Yeah, I could go first.
Go ahead, Dala.
I could go first. So you can find me at dadala.art on Instagram, and you know, make sure you follow the podcast on Instagram or wherever you find. You know, whether it's like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, etc. You know, give us a like, rate, whatever you can. Share with your friends.
Yeah, feel free to follow at Gibbledang. I'll be posting, you know, just customs and clips from the channel. You know, custom action figures that I make and clips from No Dumb Idea. And that's about it.
Nice, yeah. And then I'm Gym Leader Nate. If you want to find me on anything, I'm Gym Leader Nate on everything. And, you know, if you send us your takes on sci-fi, if there's anything we missed, you know, if there's any big sci-fi things that I really should have hit better, you know, let us know.
Yeah, let us know in the future.
In the future. Oh, I'm seeing it now. Oh, the emails. And I appreciate everybody talking about sci-fi with me today, because
it's cool. It's fun.
I love me some pew-pews.
Oh god, I'm getting blown out the sandworm. Woo!
No, we're getting excreted. No.